But we say to one another, we are a people, and not only emotionally, spiritually, but even neurologically, we were made to have rest and peace now and again, and we were made to be a people of joy. We need joy. We need to be a people of joy as well. And now I know there's seasons where you're really going hard at it, where it might not be that easy, but you can't have a life or a decade or a year or six where there's no joy and peace in your life. You're not going to thrive. You're not going to make it. And so we're looking at joy, as you know, for a couple of weeks. And last week we laid a bit of a foundation, giving two keys. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that joy is where we're heading, but we can't skip the righteous part. Righteousness is the foundation upon which we can have joy and peace. If I'm not in right standing with God, if I'm in bondage, if I'm in habitual sin, if I am not with Him, if I've not met with Him and walking with Him, I'm going to struggle to have real joy and peace in my life. So that was the first thing, is righteousness is important. If you're like, I haven't had joy all year, check, how's the sin in your life? I know we don't want to talk about it, but we have to. How's the sin in my life? And the Holy Spirit will help me. And then the second thing is, we looked here down below, is we need to renew our minds. Andrew gave a word this morning after he interceded for this afternoon, and he said to me that people have a hope that may not be a hope that is godly or biblical sometimes. So I might like, Lord, I don't have your joy, but I carry these hopes, but it might be a Western culture type of hope. Hoping in stuff, hoping in people and relationships that's not godly. And so the Lord is maybe just bringing us back to renew our mind so that we will, irrespective of circumstances, irrespective of the fact that life is still tough, in those things, based on His character, His goodness, His grace, be a people of joy. Because real godly joy is not mere happiness. Right, Annika? Where's Annika? Annika. No, it is a deep found one that is based upon the Spirit's work in me, Christ's work on the cross, and God's Father heart and character. That's why we have joy. And now and again, we have mountaintop moments. Please don't dismiss those. We can't stay here below in the valley and just camp here. No, woe is me, joy. No, not fake it till you make it. No, there's a true joy in spite of tough circumstances in life. John Piper lastly said, because we need to will the wineskin and have an understanding of true joy. He says, and I like it, Christian joy is a good feeling. Hey, feelings are not bad. Christians, we're charismatic, so maybe we're big on feelings, but some people will think, ooh, you kind of, like church and state, can't mix politics and church. Likewise, you can't have feelings when it comes to the things of God. No, the relationship is all about feelings, right, Edna? Good and bad, tough ones and lacquer ones. He's a real God giving us real feelings, but based on real truth. That's important, based upon Jesus. Feelings based upon Jesus. Sorry, John. Produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. We need to constantly see. Another cornerstone. I will just want to quickly say, I planted it last week, but I was kind of challenged with this verse, and maybe to a degree some of my thinking is still being challenged by the fact that God sings over me. You can go to the next one. There we go. Zephaniah 3:7, there right at the end, it says, He rejoices over you with shouts of joy. It's like, sometimes we're like, nya, kanivesi. Or in fact, the other translation says, He will delight in you with singing. God Almighty delights in you, Yaku, with singing. As hy gestort het, ek weet nie of hy stort nie, dan sal hy oor jou sing. Hy sing oor sy seuns, hy sing oor sy dogters. Just imagine, I sometimes struggle to package that. I'm growing in it, that's why we're probably doing this series. Let's quickly pray. Jesus, thank you that our faith will not be based on my words, but your Spirit and power. Lord, I pray, I love what Petri said. God of revelation, please reveal more to us. Not a revelation that merely tickles the cognitive ears, but goes deep and changes us. Fills our spirit, man. Makes us strong to be true Christ followers. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we're going to quickly jump into what I call joy by design. Look to your neighbor and say, you were designed for joy. We have joy by design, and I'm quickly going to unpack this. There's one or two sensitive topics in here, so also trust the Holy Spirit that where something is a bit sensitive today, that the Holy Spirit will help us to what? To just dissect that and hear what the Lord is saying. Amen? The intercessors, you can pray that we will hear what the Lord is saying, not what hurt is saying, not what rejection is saying, not what I missed out is saying, but what the Word and what the Spirit is saying. Does that make sense? Cool, I want to start off with two testimonies. You've heard this before. If you've not been in here for long, praise God, it's a new story to you. So, two stories of my dad that really struck my heart, that left an imprint in my life. I've shared both of them in various places where I've ministered, but they are markers in my life, relational markers that mark me. So, the first thing is, when you're in Stellenbosch and you're in varsity and you're in a course or a residence, and you play rugby, you pray on Friday afternoons, or you used to. I don't know what they do these days. But anyway, you used to play rugby on Friday afternoons. And so what will happen, I played hooker for Hayes Visser. I really enjoyed it. I was a bit of a tough nut or a rough around the edges, diamond in the making, but I was very far from it. I looked like Steenkool. Who knows Steenkool? I looked like that in the spirit. Very far from, like, I looked like charcoal. Very far from diamond. Jesus is still busy. Anyway, so I would go to rugby, and then on the one side of the field will be the opposition, the enemy, the other Corsairs. John, were you in Corsairs? Oh yeah, like Helderberg will stand on the one side. And my guys, the Swissler guys, will stand on the other side. Now, long story short, I'm a hooker, so I would now and again have to throw in into the line out, the lane stand. I can't make too long story of this. But what happens is that they will kick out the ball and it will be on the Helderberg side. So the whole course is, Juan and his mates will be standing there. Maybe Juan and his mates weren't saved yet. They will curse me and ridicule me, and weird stuff will happen because now I need to stand and throw into the line out with these guys cursing me. So it's quite a daunting thing. And what my dad would do when he comes around to watch my rugby is he will not go stand on the Swissler side, on my side. He will go and stand amongst the opposition. They didn't know. He's just a normal dad standing around. So he would stand on the other side of the field amongst the enemy, so to speak. Sorry, John, it's just a metaphor. And then when I had to go throw in the ball, he would walk up and down just slowly, not making a scene, just standing and just come and stand very close to me where they're ridiculing, cursing me and swearing at my mom. So he's listening to all of that. He's not saying a word. All he does is just make eye contact with me. He would just, as I come running up, he will just check and we will just connect with one another. He's just standing there as they're cursing me, and it would be a moment of such confidence, not arrogance, such confidence. That my father is standing in the midst of the enemies. And he's there. He's just standing, not doing anything. But it just created such an image of God in my life. So when he passed away, that just left such an imprint of his face as I came closer to have to do something in the midst of what was real pressure. The other testimony was when I rocked up at his house one day. My mom and dad was divorced, and so I would go visit there, and I had my own wheel, so I was a bit older, I guess. So I got to the front door, and I looked in, and I wanted to knock, and he looked up. He was sitting on a lazy boy watching rugby, as Afrikaans women, I guess, do sometimes. And he looked up, and the moment he looked up, and he saw it's me at the door. It's something, I remember how his face lit up when he saw me. And that image, just nothing, it wasn't a weird day, it wasn't nothing. But it just something happened in a moment as he shone upon me, the acceptance and just acknowledgement. Here's my son. I'm glad to see him. And those things really stirred, amongst many other things, the Word of God and many other people are some of the building blocks of a God image in my life. And I'll tie it up with joy right now, because we were ultimately made for joy, and joy is not mere happiness. The joy of the confidence that I had in those two moments of how somebody's face would lit up when they see me stirred something and established something in my identity. There's many other, I almost said crap, nonsense that has also happened that also conflicts with the biblical image of my identity, but that's a story for another day. These are two beautiful examples. I just wanted to share some balance. The thing is that our relational identities are determined greatly with these moments of joy. God designed us for bonding formations. So what happens is when He sees me and I see Him in that moment, there's a bonding moment. There's a moment of joy, of true essence and joy that happens. And it even is something that the guys, the very smart guys, have established that happens in your brain and the formation of each and every one of us. And some of us might have had beautiful formations. That's why I said some of this is sensitive. And some of us maybe not those beautiful formations of when somebody saw you and loved on you, accepted you. But here's the beautiful thing, God redeems. The other places where me and my dad, where life was messy and where I missed out, there the Lord is restoring in Jesus. So please, please hear that as well. Let's quickly jump into a segment there. There's a screen grab of this book that we are currently reading and dissecting, but it's so beautiful, The Other Half of Church. The right brain integrates our life, including our connections with our loved ones, our bodies, our surroundings, our emotions, our identities, and our community. Character formation flows of these connections. So there's millions and millions and millions of connections. There's so much stuff that is stored up in your brain. Over time, that becomes this massive big library through which everything you see and do gets filtered so that you can decide how to live and how to respond, right? So there's millions of things of which I've mentioned two testimonies to you that year backup files in my mind through which I dissect when something happens to me, if that makes sense. The right brain processes these questions. Who is happy to see me here? What do I feel right now? Is there anyone here who understands me? How do I act like myself right now? What do my people do in this situation? And the answers to these questions drive our character development. Now, just quickly, and I'm not well versed in these things, but what I've read and what I've heard is that on the right hand side of our brain, and the doctors in the house can stop me, thoughts actually enter and they go through our brain on the right hand side 12 times a second. That's pretty fast. You can't even think. But you get things get filtered so quickly. So right at the back, it goes in, and firstly it needs to decide, is this personal or non-personal? Because I see the color of the wall now. It's really non-personal. If I start talking about the color of the wall, we're going to spend 3 decades here. So something is personal, or non-personal. Then it immediately goes and it needs to say, is it good? Is it bad? Or is it scary? That's how we actually survive. Oh, it's scary. And so it goes through that. Then the following thing is it personal and am I seen? Is this personal? Am I acknowledged? Am I seen? And once it goes through that filter, all on the right-hand side, this is not cognitive. You're not thinking this. This is just testing because these are thoughts that have processed over years going through. Then it hits the identity. This is who I am. This is what we do in these circumstances. And from there on, a thought on the left-hand side goes into either actions or words or both, etc. That's just my dumbed-down version of it. And so it's very important. It is very important that in your formation, in your library over years and all the things that have happened to you, that you will start seeing that it was actually God's design of joy to build your relational identity and to create in you that library that is safe, that is whole, that is godly. Who's ever made stupid mistakes upon stupid mistakes because you can't break certain habits? Can't break certain habits. You're like, I'm trying my best. But I believe, yes, it's often spiritual. And yes, we go into scripture and the Holy Spirit helps us. But the Lord also gave us a brain. And sometimes we have trained some of our thought patterns in the wrong way. And we need to trust the Lord to unlearn those things, especially when it comes to identity, etc. So coming back to God's face for us, or in this case, my dad's face. Who's ever walked into a social setting, into a room, and you're like, who is seeing me? Anybody ever had that? Who walks into church thinking, am I going to be noticed? Some of us might say, I prefer not to be noticed sometimes, but ultimately over time, we love to be noticed. It's, actually part of us. If you're in a family, if you're in a social setting, if you're in church, wherever you walk into a room, our brain is constantly, not cognitively necessarily, testing. Is there somebody around here joyfully, happily, being happy or joyful to see me? That is part of our makeup. Do you believe me? I'm happy to see you. Our right brains are constantly scanning our environment for this joy and is both identity and character forming. So our brains are constantly, it's not on there, Joanne, I see you looking for it. That was just my own notes I quickly read because it's so important. We're constantly scanning each and every place where we go. So Lord, am I being seen? And is somebody actually happy to see me here? It is a big part of our lives. And sometimes we get, because of broken relationships, because of sinful nature, because of a broken world, we actually come in a place where we get hardened. But it is stinking thinking often. A quick example, through nature and through the Lord's grace in the makeup that He's given us, we can look at God and young ones, God and babies. You're like thinking about, yeah, I'm an adult, I'm not too sure about this. If we quickly look at God and babies, when is the first, this one is for you again, Yaku. When is the first time that you really know you've connected with a newborn baby? Anybody? When do you know that you guys have communicated? Bath time. I hear you. How do you know that you've really connected and communicated with a newborn baby? Anybody? If the baby recognizes you and smiles, somebody else said smile as well. You were right. It's not papa. They don't say blowball out of their own. Might be something else talking, but what happens the first and foremost, the first time that we actually acknowledge that here's a connection, is their face light up because they recognize you. Joy goes off and they smile. Now, Edna would and I would often have fights because you're like waiting for this communication of this little one to speak to me through a smile, this joy moment, God's design of joy. And she's like, "Nee, it was net 'n wind." And I'm like, "It was a smile. I'm sure I got the first smile." So, "Nee, it's net 'n wind." I don't know what's that in English. It's a burp. I'm like, "No, she's not. That's not constipation or a burp. That was a smile. That was her joy tank being filled because she saw my face shining upon her." But I want to just quickly say, this is God's design. There we go. This is God's design as a relational glue between a mom and a baby or a dad and a baby. This is the way the Lord made us to be. There's these things going through that little one's mind, and then for the first time, I recognize this face. And then boom, that moment happens. And not only as a baby, but throughout their lives, this continues. Brain science reveals that this joy sensation is crucial for emotional and relational development. I want to say this to adults as well, especially if us that have missed out somewhere along the line, we all have bumps and bruises, believe you me. Brain science reveals that this joy sensation is crucial for emotional and relational development. Our brain looks specifically to the face of another person to find joy, and this fills up our emotional gas tank. The face is key. So we speak to one another. I'm not sure how it works for blind people. I'll read up on that. But as for with said with respect to those seeing, we look at somebody's face and see how do they respond. If you walk in here for the very first time in this church and we're like, "Hello," you're probably going to go like, "Never, not again." Or we can be all fake and, "Hello, brother, hello, sister," but it's not real. And then there's this place where, "Hey, we're actually interested in who you are. Why are you here? It's not such a beautiful building, bless it. Why are you here to sit in these pews on a late Sunday afternoon? Oh, you're looking for Jesus. I'm really joyful to be on this journey with you." And so this is very much a big part of our design that we were made for joy. So if it's true on a human level, between us, we all look to each other and we're like, "Oh man, I'm glad to see you." And if not, we need to work at it. But on a human level, this is true. But what about us and God? Because that's ultimately where we go. That's where we go. What about us and God? I love the fact that Andrew heard from the Lord in intercession. He just shouted it out. Daddy's home. I'm like, what was that? And then I'm like, that might just be the Holy Spirit speaking and affirming this. Daddy's home. God's in the house. God's the Father is here, just wanting to affirm his, not only what we see in nature, what we know through brain development and neurology, but also spiritually the truth that each and every one of us need. A people desperately needed to be seen. And a people needed to be seen by God. So we're going to look at two scriptures. We're going to start in the Old Testament in number 6. So God goes to Moses. He says to Moses, hey Moses, tell Aaron and the Levites, they need to bless my people. And if they bless them, they need to bless them like this. Let's read together. Verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's good. We like that. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And here it is. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. I've always read that. But never after reading the book and seeing these revelations have I realized that that's it. Even in the Old Testament where things seems kind of hard, God says, he blesses me and keeps me. But then you need to speak this over my people. I make my face shine upon them. I stand on the other side of the rugby field, and when they come closer in the midst of their enemies, I shine on them. When I see them walking in the room, I get excited and I shine over them. They're mine. They belong. This is who I am. Even in number 6, he already gave us the key that through Christ he will be this dad to us one day. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face towards you and gives you peace. There we see joy and peace coming together again. So they'll put my name on the Israelites, and so they go on. So God knows what we need. He designed us. So you might think, oh, church is doing the topic joy. Guess what? A very big part of your brain, a very big part of your spirit life, a very big part of your emotional life, and then a very big part of your relational well-being is all built around the God-given, designed joy. But I like what Cecilia said. God first. God first. When last has his face shone upon you? When last have you just really basked in the fact that he's your dad and he shines his affection, his affirmation, his truth, and your true identity over you? It's not a nice to have, guys. It's not like a Stanley Cup or a nice puffer jacket or sneakers or a bicycle or a bike or a bucky. No, it is an essential. You cannot live without joy. Not a tickle, tickle, there's space for that. But the real find, God-given, God-birthed joy that only He can give. When last have you seen somebody brimming, like they're just shining because they've been with God? When last have you seen that? I'm seeing Hein tomorrow for our accountability, bi-weekly accountability meeting and breakfast. And then hopefully he's been with the Lord for a couple of hours before he sees me. I'm just like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And he's just like, no, no, I'll pray for you. And like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then I could see his tank is full. His joy tank is full because God has breathed and spoken truth over him again. And so he's just such a blessing to me. When last have you seen the Lord smile over you, shone over you with his face? Another quick testimony. So I went running. That in itself is a testimony. Yes, I know. But there's another part to it. About 3 weeks ago, I think it was a Saturday or a Sunday. So I was a bit bogged down. I had lots on my heart, lots on my plate. And so I was reminded of scripture, like, roll your cares unto the Lord. Give your cares unto the Lord, for he cares for you. So as I was running, and I'm quite slow on a 5, so I had lots of time also talking to the Lord. I just started to unpack stuff before God. Have you ever tried that? So I would just, God, your hearts. I just said, Lord, I give the church to you, Lord. Lord, I give my wife and children to you, Lord. I give our finances to you, Lord. I give my health to you, Lord. And every single thing that just comes up, I just started to just put on the altar, just put at his feet. And I literally just started to feel lighter. Like everything I needed to do and perform and be for myself, be for my family, be for other people, all that stuff, I just took to him and just say, Lord, I just bring it back. I'm not saying I'm going to abscond. relax. I'm just having a moment with the Lord as I'm running and trying to keep my breath. And so I'm putting it all down. And at some stage, I'm like, whoa, this actually works. And so I stop for a breather. Iron Man guys, please just close your ears. Yes, I do stop after 2 kilometers sometimes just to have a breather. Please don't judge me. Anyway, and so I just stop and I just like, I feel lighter. I've just laid these things down before the Lord. And then as I just sat there with the traffic going to and fro, I just had a moment with the Lord and I really just felt like the sun just shone on me. And I just felt like truly like I was naked. I had nothing left. I gave everything to Him. I just felt light but also just exposed before Him. And as I just stepped up, I just clearly heard in my spirit, the Lord says, Jy is genoeg. You are enough. And in that moment, I realized all that stuff on the run that I've laid down, stuff that I often want to bring to Him, or show Him, or maybe even perform to Him. And He says that when you come into my presence, when I shine upon you, it's only you. It's not works. It's not fruit for now. It's not other stuff. It's you. You are enough. It was just such a liberating moment where He just shone upon me. And as I thought of that, I'm like, yes, I wonder the high priest in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, did they take any stuff into the Holy of Holies? And I went to go look it up and I realized, no, they didn't. They didn't come with like a venter sleeper full of dead works saying, hey, look at this. We've performed all of these stuff. Let's look at the church. Look at this. Look at that. Look at all of these righteous deeds. No, nothing. They just went in there. Two things, the blood of a spotless lamb or an animal. The other one was burning coals and incense. It gave up a bit of a smoke that is the Holy Spirit, I believe, in Jesus. So I'm like, it's all I have. It's all I have. But as I said, laid these things down, that revelation, remember it's mine, so just test it, but that revelation struck me like, I can't bring anything into His presence. I can't impress Him. What He wants is my heart. I can't impress Him with my PB. I can't impress Him with my stewardship, my bank balance. I can't impress Him with fruit in ministry or eloquence of speech or anything. Just me. And that just spoke to my heart. And I want to invite you to that space again. Because that was such a liberating joy and peace. It's all I have. It's just me and Him. And He shone on me as I laid down all the other stuff. Jesus often withdrew. Often withdrew. Not performing the whole time. He often withdrew to His dad. Why? Because He had the face of His Father had to shine, I guess, on Him again. They needed to make eye contact again. Proverbially speaking. I want to encourage you. If you want true joy, you need to make eye contact with Him again. Yes, we need to fellowship. Yes, we need to be discipled. Yes, we need to bear the fruit that He's planned. But firstly and foremostly, you need to make eye contact with Him. Otherwise, this thing called Christianity is not going to work. It's based and built upon His presence and His face. Nothing else. Psalm 16 says the following, the Lord is chosen. The Lord is my portion and my cup of blessing. He holds my lot. He holds my future. He decides. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In night, I also, my heart instructs me. So this is just beautifully how the Lord does these things. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells securely. So it's just this description of this beautiful relationship that He has with God. It goes on then. In verse 10, for you will not abandon me to Sheol, that's hell. Or let your Holy One see corruption. Lord, you will protect me. That's what we all want. It's like, please look out for me. And then it goes on to say, and this is important, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You show me where to go, Lord. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. We're going to freeze frame that. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. We want joy. The whole world is constantly looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, saying that in a non-judgmental way. But the Lord says, here it is. There it is, plain, in white and black. There it's written down. In His presence is fullness of joy. remember that word presence there, because we're going to look at it right now. So where do we find joy, guys? Where do we find joy, guys? Lekker. Where do we get fulfilled? Where is fullness of joy? Yay. Near. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The one who designed me, knows how my brain and my spirit works. The one who gives me true identity, not an identity of the world. The one that's not, that's the one who does not drop me like people of this world and mothers and fathers might drop me. No, the one that catches me and fills me up and keeps my tank full. He's the one that fills me with all satisfaction. Nothing else, nothing outside of that can give you fullness of joy. Does He give us other good stuff? Yes, He does. But in the right way around, right? We are a people that always say encounter, 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 but this is the crux of it. Let's see quickly how beautiful, before we're going to land this, how beautiful, if you look at that verse 11 in Psalm 16, it speaks of His presence. And you might think, how does it tag in? How does it connect with the babies and the face and God shining on us? You can go to the next slide, please. Because the one after that, thank you. In fact, the one after that, there we go. If we go look at that word presence and we look at the Hebrew meaning of presence, it is the same word that we see earlier up in number 6 for face, namely panim. There, the most common Hebrew term for presence is panim, which is also translated as face, implying a close and personal encounter with the Lord. So if the Lord says in number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, He makes His face shine upon you. That word for face is panim. And that exact same Hebrew word is also panim in Psalm 16 verse 11. Namely, His presence speaks of His face. So where do we find fullness of joy? There where His face shines on us. There where His face shines on us. Namely, His presence. But His presence is beautifully described in Hebrew as His face. There where He sees you and He shines over you, there is fullness of joy. Then something clicks. There we go. I've been looking for this for all of my life. It just happened. That was the thing. It wasn't sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It wasn't doing everything right and jumping through hoops and climbing corporate ladders and performing like a parakeet. No. It was actually just that I wanted His face, His presence to shine over me. Like a little baby just waiting to smile back and say, that was what I was designed for. This is who I am. From here on I can live. From here on I can breathe. From here on I may be. How beautiful is His design. How beautiful is His design and how important is joy and those moments in His face. Just as a young newborn baby needs the close facial encounters with a mother or father, as a face shines over him or her and joy establishes a relational bond and identity, likewise we need these encounters with the face of God to know who we are. Because of His joy. There's a quick screen grab up there. God designed our brains for joy. There we go. God designed our brains and our lives for joy. And He wants us to live in the glow of His delight. This blessing expresses a joy that can be paraphrased as, may you feel the joy of God's face shining on you because He is happy to be with you. For some of us, that might sound, yeah, of course I know that. But some of our hearts have been crying for that for a couple of decades. God, may Your face shine on me. Oh, it has shone on me, but I've gone astray. And I'm coming back to daily allow You again to shine Your face upon me, to be in Your presence. For there, not only my brain, but also my spirit functions well. And I can be a person that lives whole. Because guess what? You've been called to live whole. We don't have to pull that leg forever and a day. We don't have to pick up our guts and try to fix it ourselves and just, yuck, I know. That's not the call. Yes, I know process and time, but we need to allow Him to do that. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Joy is a bit of a deep thing, right? It's not a fluffy. It's not like Holy Spirit fruit light, especially if you look at the root of it. If you look at these things, joy is a pretty deep thing, but it's beautiful. I like the Afrikaans word, ach. It's truthful in essence. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. We can go on to paraphrase that verse 11 and say, when your face shines over me, God, I'm fulfilled with joy. When I'm seen by you, God, I'm full. When I'm seen by you, my joy tank is full and I can live and breathe and have my being. Will you stand with me as we pray? I had to check two watches because we're on time. I'm like, God, what happened? I believe the Lord wants to restore and redeem first. So with all eyes closed, if you, something I said tonight, or as the Holy Spirit maybe convicted you, if you missed out on the practical, natural, joy-filling moments that you had to have as a baby, or as a young child, even an adolescent, or as an adult, if you've missed out and you seriously is like, Lord, please come and restore that joy I've missed out, that relational glue-giving joy. If that's you, just raise your hand that we can pray for redemption and restoration. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for these hands, Lord, that have missed out. Lord, the word is clear. And you say, Lord, that even if your mother and father forsake you, the Lord cares for you. So Lord, wherever mom and dad did not smile enough, shine enough upon the faces and the hearts and ultimately the brains that needed it in this place, we pray that through your Spirit, restoration will take place in this season. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to have years of counseling. I do believe through your Spirit and because of Jesus, there can be instant moments of a touch of your finger to restore brain, neurological ways, Father God, pathways, and in our spirit what we need. So thank you for the hands, Lord. I pray that you will restore joy moments. I pray that you will fill those tanks again. I pray that where you need to go back, Lord, you will go back and restore that affection and that bonding so that our library through which everything gets filtered are whole and restored. For we belong. We are valued. We are yours because of Jesus. And we are entitled to the God-given joy, both naturally and spiritually, that you have for us. And I pray it over each and every one who put up their hands. And then the second thing, if you just want to, we know presence and face is the same thing, but if you want to experience God's presence more so that He can fill up that joy, if that's you, just in the season, going and heading for the fullness of joy, just raise your hand. We're going to simply pray that. Lord, I thank you for these hands committing and saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will, whatever stumbling blocks, whatever things there is in our way, Lord, that you will come and usher us into a season where we have countless moments in your presence where your face shines upon us. Your face shines upon us. Lord, each and every one that says yes now, I pray, Lord, for countless moments that they will know that you love them, that you're happy to be with them, that Emmanuel and his face shines upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for fullness of joy to be restored to us, our households, and even where necessary, especially to our children. And then I'm going to end off and I'm going to pray over all of us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
in Jesus' mighty name. Be blessed. Amen. Amen. You can.
It's, I really feel that there's a call in the Spirit for some of you to forgive your fathers. And that will help you see your Heavenly Father. That your unforgiveness that you carry, and might be rightfully so, you need to release it so that you can see more clearly your Heavenly Father. And so I'm going to pray over you if you feel that. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but I'm going to pray that over you. So let's just all close our eyes. Jesus, we thank you that you came to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. And where our journey on earth has maybe put so much of a veil between us, not just our own sin, but the sins that our fathers subjected us to, where those things have caused a veil as well, I ask that you would help us in our frailty to forgive them. That you'd help us in our frailty to release them. Heavenly Father, that you would move closely towards my brothers and sisters that may be battling with us in Jesus' name. And that you would help them. That you would help them, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.